Yes. Okay, so you're bringing up Church of Christ. For those of you who are not familiar, you say, you know, maybe Church of Christ, you've seen some buildings occasionally, but you're not as familiar with them. It's a good night for you. I happen to be very familiar with what we know as the denomination of the Church of Christ, because I grew up about 90 miles from, I hate to say their headquarters, but for their major university, what we know as Abilene Christian University up in Abilene, Texas. And Church of Christ, now, can I start humorously and then we'll get serious? I love to kind of pick on my Church of Christ friends. And by the way, I can do that quite frequently because I grew up in a town in a community that was very heavily Church of Christ. Okay. And I was kind of a little strange because I was Baptist, you know, you can pick on them for a lot of fun reasons. But one of the things I like to pick on them is that they used to be Baptist and we kicked them out is what they used to be. Seriously, there's a man by the name of Campbell. And Campbell was a Baptist pastor, and he was up in the Northeast, and he began to teach something very specific known as baptismal regeneration. That's a big fancy phrase that means that you're not saved unless you've been dunked and completely submerged under water. That baptismal regeneration is necessary for salvation. Now, I understand that, you know, when we use a term such as Baptist or whatever, we're using a collective theology there. Baptists as a whole completely reject that concept, that salvation is by grace through Jesus Christ's faith alone, that baptism is an act of obedience, but is not a requirement for one to be saved and to ultimately go to a place the Bible calls heaven. Church of Christ believed that it is necessary. Well, he began to preach this as a quote-unquote Baptist, and so the quote Baptist gracefully removed him from their fellowship, and he started his own church, which turned into its own denomination. Which ultimately became known as the, quote, Church of Christ. Some very interesting, I guess, evidence of how do you know that you're dealing with someone who's Church of Christ. We'll start somewhat casually and we'll go more serious. There's typically no music allowed in their services as far as instrumentation is considered, which I like to have fun with because the only way to get on key is to have a pitch pipe, which is tuned by a piano. I don't know if y'all noticed the humor in that. So it required an instrument to get the right note. But we don't use instruments, even though we use the pitch pipe. But again, I grew up in the community, so it's kind of fun. But on a more serious note, okay, that's all kind of fun. And hey, I love a cappella music, right? On a more serious note, at the core of the difference between a Church of Christ and predominantly the majority of us in this room is the question, not just of baptism, but what is necessary for salvation? The Church of Christ, baptismal regeneration, going in the water, is absolutely necessary. And I would be willing, I hate to use the term, I'd be willing to wager, though, if you've ever had a conversation of a discrepancy of theology with a Church of Christ, 99 out of 100 times, the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 38 is going to come up every single time. So grab your Bibles out. We're going to have some fun tonight because there are two passages that we're going to turn to. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And then we're going to go to Acts chapter 16, verse 31. All right. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 is the critical text for what we know as the Church of Christ. Now, if you were to survey what we call Baptists, 9 times out of 10, you say, what's the most important verse in the New Testament? Typically, we say John 3:16. Hence, we're in the 3:16 center. But Church of Christ, it's Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And as you turn to Acts chapter 2, 38, you're going to see this passage where this statement is made. And by the way, this is Peter preaching. This is the end of what we know as the Pentecost sermon. And he makes this statement. He says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So the idea of repent and be baptized. Now, as a corollary to this, they typically will take you over to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. So if you go to Mark, chapter 16, I believe it is verse 15. says, he that believes and baptized shall be saved, but he that does not believe shall be damned. Is that correct? Did I get the right verse? Mark 16:15. Did I get it? Did I not get it? 16:16. I apologize. Let me turn this 5 into a 6 real quick. Okay. Mark chapter 16, verse 16, it says that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that does not believe shall be damned. Is that correct terminology there? Yes. Now, again, I say this, and I'm not trying to be crass in any way, because I don't care how much education you have, how much, quote, church you have, how much Bible study you have. And when I say education, I mean theological and or secular. Doesn't matter. I think one of the best things that we can do when it comes to Bible study is learn how to read like a third grader. Don't make it say something it doesn't say. Don't read into it. Oh, well, I know that really means this. If you believe and you're baptized, you're going to be saved. If you don't believe, you're damned. Doesn't say anything about baptism, does it? All right? And what you see here in Mark 16:16 is that baptism is a natural expression of one's belief, as you see throughout Scripture, particularly Acts chapter 8 and other places. But here's the phrase that's the most important. If you do not believe. If this statement said, if you do not believe and you're not baptized, then we would have a conversation, so to speak. But these are kind of the two passages there. Repent and be baptized. This is their big statement that they use all the time. All right? Now, go to Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Acts chapter 16, we have Paul in jail, in the prison, and it's a famous event where he has the opportunity to be released. He's still inside, and the jailer, who is very upset for his own physical well-being because he knows that if the prisoners leave, he's going to lose his own physical life, having obviously heard the testimony of Paul by not only preaching but by singing throughout the last probably hours and days and or weeks, comes to him and has a conversation. And the Apostle Paul makes this statement in Acts 16:31. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Correct? Did I mess up? Nope. You shall be saved. Now, here's where it's important to have this conversation. Acts 16:31, there is no mention of baptism at all, is there? But let's be honest with ourselves. There is a mention of it here, correct? It does say repent and be baptized. We cannot deny that, correct? This is where we get to play biblical Jeopardy. You say, biblical Jeopardy? Y'all know the show Jeopardy, right? By the way, did y'all see the episode a couple weeks ago during the Super Bowl where none of them knew the football questions? That was pretty cute. But, whoa, are you serious? I had no idea. Somebody from Opelika won on Jeopardy last night? And so he's like the reigning champion? Well, congratulations to him. Wow. So on Jeopardy, those of you, I'm sure you're familiar with the game show, there is the answer that's put up on the screen, right? The answer's put up there. And you have to submit the question. Am I correct? That's the way it works. Okay. So we're going to play biblical Jeopardy tonight with my I'm going to provide the answer. All right? The answer is green. Green. G-R-E-E-N. What's the question? What is yellow and blue? What is Tracy's last name, my wife? Any other greens? What color are eggs? My eggs are white. I don't know about yours. But Dr. Seuss said they were green. Okay, but that's great. You're absolutely right. Okay, what else? What color is grass? Assuming it's been watered, yes. Okay, how about what is the color of American currency? Okay. We could go on and on and on, right? Are all of the, quote, questions you provided correct? What does it depend on? The category that it's in. If it was on the category of horticulture, you would be right. If it was the category of just family, you would be right. If it was the category of literature, particularly children's, you would be right, sir. Absolutely. And so, even though the answer is green, you cannot separate the answer from the question. Now, here is one of the struggles that, ma'am, you brought up Church of Christ in particular, but I think all of us struggle with at times, is that we find an answer we like, but we forget to ask the question. So, Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, repent and be baptized. It does say it. We can't get away from it, right? So, go to verse 37, Acts verse 30, or chapter 2, verse 37, and what is the question that is asked? This is important. Whether you're speaking with an individual from this background or anybody else for like manner. What is the question that is asked by the hearers of the message to Peter? What shall we do? All right. What shall we do? Now go to Acts 16, verse 30. What's the question? What must I do to be saved? I'm just going to add the last part. To be saved. This question is not asking, how am I saved? It's not asking, how am I forgiven? It's not even asking, how do I go to, quote, heaven one day? It's a generic, what do we do? This question is very specific. What must I do to be saved? In other words, I'm lost. I want to be saved. Forgiven, what I do? This answer has nothing to do with baptism, right? So then you go back into Acts chapter 2 and you have to ask yourself, why would they ask that question? Well, if you read the sermon that Peter preaches, and allow me to sum it up in brief, here is the simple message. Beginning in verse 4 and 5 of chapter 2, it says that there were Jewish people from all nations. So who's your audience? Jewish people. Where are they meeting? Pentecost, 50 days after Passover. So these individuals are folks, or they're individuals who are Jewish by faith, Jewish by birth, who are back in Jerusalem celebrating a Jewish festival and feast to express their Judaism. Okay? The message that Peter preaches is, you put the wrong guy on the cross. You allowed, and that opens up a whole other sea of questions, I realize that, but you allowed Jesus of Nazareth, the Jewish Messiah, to be crucified. And you allowed that to happen. And basically, he says, the blood is on your hands. You did the wrong thing. And what, you know what the response is? What do we do? What do we do? What does he say? Repent and be baptized. This is where it gets fun. And hopefully, as we chase down this trail for just a moment, I'll be on target here. So help me if I get off, okay? What we have to understand here is the audience. What we have to understand is where they were and where they needed to be. So you've got Jewish individuals who are in Judaism. And he tells them, repent and be baptized. Who else's message in the Bible does that sound like? John the Baptist. You all knew that, right? Because what was his message over and over and over again? So John the Baptist over here, he tells who typically are his audience? Jews. He tells them to repent, be baptized, and then what's the next statement? Go follow Jesus. In other words, what you see in Acts chapter 2, it's almost as if we're in the early part of the Gospels again. You've got Jewish people who don't believe in Jesus, and he's saying, you must not only repent of your sins. What did baptism do for those Jewish people in the Jordan River? They were making it very clear they were leaving Judaism, and they were going to go follow Jesus. Is that correct? That's what they were doing. Now, baptism for you and I, baptism is a picture. It's showing on the outside what we believe on the inside. Because guess what? Before we got saved, were we adherents to Judaism, most of you? No. Were you diehard in another faith? No. You were just like me. You're just an old heathen. That's what you were. You know, you were just in your sins, doing what you want to do any way you wanted to do it. And so you and I really didn't have to leave out of anything. We just need to enter into Jesus through repentance, okay? These guys are living their entire life subscribing to ritual and rite and saying, this is what I must do. John the Baptist says, repent and be baptized. And by the way, there's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Go follow him. The message that's preached in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, is the same message that John the Baptist preached to the Jewish people all throughout the Gospels. Why is this significant? Because in Acts chapter 2, we have Jewish people as a whole at Pentecost, correct? By the time you get to Acts chapter 8, you're with the Samaritans. By the time you get to Acts chapter 10, you're with the Gentiles. And the only time that you see the concept of repentance and baptism paralleled together in the same sentence in a context like this is right there. Never mentioned to Samaritans, never mentioned to Gentiles. And as you get further and further on and all throughout what we know as the writings of the Apostle Paul, never again do you ever see this concept of baptism coming up as a what appears to be a necessity. Notice appears. Oh, real quick, one quick thing. So, that being said, you have to look at this scenario, and I understand the Church of Christ saying, well, the Bible says repent and be baptized. But the question wasn't, how do I get saved? The question is, what do I do that I personally